His Word alone. And so today we give thanks for the grace of God. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. The outline in our bulletin for this 10:30 worship service begins on page 5. Our opening hymn, number 555, Salvation Unto Us Has Come, great Reformation hymn. We'll sing the first five verses. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure that we are on the right page at the right time in that respect. And the only other thing that I want to point out for you today, we'll still sing our hymn of praise during this pre-Lent time, but when we get to the readings part, we will skip the Alleluia. We'll just go right from the epistle to the gospel reading. And again, we'll make sure we make that announcement at that time too. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we take for granted so often the gifts that you shower down upon us. We take for granted your love, your forgiveness, your gifts of grace. Heavenly Father, today, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to acknowledge and give thanks for the gracious way that you work without any merit or favor on our behalf. Heavenly Father, teach us to cling to Christ and His Word and His forgiveness alone. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 555, verses 1 through 5.
Thank you.
Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishments. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you under boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit for the day. Continue now with the Kyrie and the Gloria.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high. Graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, and taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel. And because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read the gradual.
The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them out into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God.
523. Please be seated.
The last will be first, and the first last. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning comes from the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 20th chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew. Dear friends in Christ, you are a Christian. You have faith because Jesus called you. He came to you in the marketplace of this world, and he hired you to labor in his vineyard. He called you through the preaching of his word. He hired you in the precious waters of holy baptism. He made you a laborer in his vineyard. And then he put you to work. Now, some of you were called at the very beginning, promised your denarius when you were only an infant. Others were called at the third hour, when you were a child, as a grandparent or a friend perhaps brought you into God's house and to God's word. Some of you were called at the sixth or the ninth hours, as young adults or in middle age, perhaps with the prodding of a spouse or even a child. And some of you were hired the 11th hour, having lived your entire life idle in the marketplace. Perhaps you were one of those called at the very first hour, and then you left the vineyard for days, months, years, even decades. But then the Lord brought you back in with a gentle rebuke. why do you stand here idle all day? You joined those hired at the first, the third, the sixth, and the ninth hours, fully aware of how you squandered your life or squandered a couple decades chasing after the things of this world. All of you have been called to work, to labor in the vineyard, producing the good fruit of love towards God and love toward the neighbor. Your work, it isn't easy. For the Christian life isn't easy. You bear the burden of the day and its heat. The burden of dying to yourself in repentance every single day. The heat of persecution. You face the hatred of the world. You face the resistance of your own flesh, the sinful man, the sinful Adam that still dwells within you, that needs to be drowned day after day. With great struggles, you seek to keep yourself from the fleeting pleasures of this world. And when you fall, as you know you do, you go to your knees in repentance. Your labor has been hard. And for some of you, it has been quite long. So long and so hard, in fact, that you who were hired first, even those hired at the third or the sixth hours, begin to forget just how things work in the kingdom of heaven. You have begun to forget that the master hired you, that he promised you a denarius when the day was over, that he made you a laborer and sent you to work, promised you the wage before you had even worked 1 second in the vineyard. You begin to take your eyes off the master and begin looking at yourself. You begin to look at those fellow laborers who are around you. You have worked for so long and for so hard that you have begun to think that the master owes you for your work. No longer are your eyes fixed on the master, trusting his promise, the denarius that is surely coming, but they are fixed on yourself. As you evaluate what wages your work deserves, or as you look at everyone else, evaluating how much they deserve, you are no longer thinking of the denarius as grace, but instead as justice. Jesus giving you what he rightfully owes you, his repayment for all the work you put in. Now, you who are hired a little later perhaps have a little different perspective. You too let your eyes stray from the master. You are looking at yourself. You're looking at your fellow laborers. You are all too aware of the life that you lived before, the time that you wasted idle in the marketplace, chasing after the pleasures of the flesh, perhaps knowing the kind of labor that went on in the market, in the vineyard, and wanting nothing to do with it. You are painfully aware, even after you have come to work in the vineyard, of how you struggle, of how you fall day by day. You look at your fellow laborers, your fellow Christians, and to you, they all seem to have it together. They all seem much more deserving of a denarius than you are. If you could read their minds, if you knew how much they feel entitled to their wage, you would probably agree with them. For you don't feel entitled at all. You feel completely undeserving. And you have a sneaking suspicion that when the day's end comes, the master won't have anything left to give you. You've come too late. You were idle too long. The master will have nothing left to give. So there is fear, and there is confidence among the workers as the master makes ready for the end of the day, for the paying of the wages. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. The last will be first, and the first last." And as the decisive moment finally comes, all eyes are finally fixed where they should have been the whole time, on the master. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. A denarius! You cannot believe what you hold in your hand. A denarius! The denarius of heaven. The denarius of eternal life. Given to you who are called so late. You who are idle so long. You who have so much sinful baggage. You who had sinned so much, who have stumbled so often, even to that very day. A denarius for you. Yes. And you go on your way rejoicing. Now, there is certainly a little bit of rejoicing further back in line among you who stand toward the back, a little polite smattering of applause. Your master certainly is generous, as you who have served him the longest know the best. And now your expectations, they've gone through the roof. Yes, you're glad that the master has something left over for those who spent the day being idle. But you are the ones who put in all the work. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. A denarius? You cannot believe what you hold in your hand. A denarius? The same denarius given to those who are idle, those who despise the master's call for so long, those who have so much sinful baggage they might as well drive around in a U-Haul. A denarius? And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house. Your cause is just. Your argument is sound. Every other worker on this planet would agree with you, and more than a few labor courts. These last worked only 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat? What was the point of laboring so long, working so hard? You have made him, you've made her equal to me? Don't you know what they've done? Don't you know who they are? Don't you know what they've done to me? Mission work around the world is just fine, and we feel pretty good about sending our dollars overseas. But when it comes to extending the call of the gospel to those we know or think that we know, we are less enthusiastic. We know what they're like, and we know they don't deserve any grace. At least not as much grace as I deserve. Does the town drunk deserve a denarius? What about a drug addict, a sex offender, a murderer, or a thief? But we don't even have to be so extreme, do we? What about those who spent most of their lives not caring about what God says? What about those you see on the street that you would much rather not see in church? What about those who have sinned against you, perhaps quite grievously? Do they deserve a denarius? That's really the question, isn't it? Do those hired at the 11th hour, those who hear the call of the gospel after having lived a life of sin, or having sinned against me, or having stood idle in the marketplace, deserve the denarius at the end of the day? Well, not in comparison with me. You know how I've worked, Lord. You know how I've toiled. You know how I've sacrificed the pleasures I've foregone to labor in your vineyard. I've been an elder. I've been on altar guild. I'm here every week. I volunteer at every single event. I. You see, that's the problem. We've taken our eyes off the Master. We've been looking at ourselves. Been looking at our fellow laborers. If we had fixed our eyes on the Master, we would have had no idea what any of the other laborers received. And so the Master chides us. Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? It was evil in your eyes that your master was good. So good, in fact, that he gave to every laborer the same wage. He treated every repentant sinner the same. Do you feel entitled to a denarius? Do you look down upon your fellow laborers? Do your eyes stray from the Master to them? Repent. Repent and rejoice that the Master has grace for every sinner hired at any hour. Yes, even you. For that is what grace is. It's a gift. It's not earned in any way. The laborers do not work to earn their denarius. They're given a denarius because they've been hired. Because they were called. It was promised to them the moment they entered the vineyard, before they had done a second of work. Not a way you'd run a business, but the kingdom of God rarely gives good business advice. Jesus isn't in the business of justice. He is all about grace. Justice would mean no hiring, no calling, and no wages for anyone. Jesus doesn't owe you or anyone else anything. But in grace, he loves you and he welcomes you into his kingdom, into his vineyard, by having justice done upon him. Those hired first give out this complaint. They make this case against their master. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Now, Jesus could have replied, in addition to everything else he said, "No, I made you and I made them equal to me, who actually did bear the burden of the day and its scorching heat." We are sorely mistaken if we think it was our labor that earned the denarius. It was the labor of Jesus. His bloody, torturous, deadly labor on our behalf that earned the denarius for every one of us. Justice for us, that means death and hell. But Jesus suffered both on our behalf. Justice was done upon him. Grace is given to us. Grace is, by its very definition, a gift. Undeserved, unearned. The Lord rewards those who don't deserve it. And every laborer in the vineyard doesn't deserve it. Yet he still gives. And he gives in abundance. He gives generously. He gives in overflowing measure. He gives to you. The last will be first, and the first last. And we rejoice, for we were all last. And we all, together with all the members of the body of Christ, in every generation, called at every hour of the day, will be first. For we will receive what the Master has promised, the denarius of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Our Master is good. He is generous. He is gracious. He gives us what we do not deserve. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory found on page 192.
Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, full of grace for sinners like you and me. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Patted on the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who is gracious to sinners would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. In addition to those prayers that are in our news and notes, we rejoice with Good Shepherd members Joel and Sarah Caldall in the gift of a son, Peter Vernon. The congregational response this morning, Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the Holy Church, that all who have been called into His vineyard, the vineyard of the Lord, would recognize their unworthiness for such a gracious gift, rejoice in the salvation they have in Christ, and remain steadfast in the Word of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, that they would gladly preach the saving gospel to all, not counting the cost, and not for their own glory or the praise of men, but for Christ's glory alone. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the world, that justice, peace, and the common good of all would be the goal of all those in, under, and with authority. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that we would love one another as Christ has loved us, give generously to the support of the ministry here and abroad, pray for our enemies, put away all earthly grumbling, and bask in the gracious provisions our Lord lavishly bestows on us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those suffering or recovering from illness, for those who are sad or sorrowing, for those suffering from broken relationships or financial distress, for those to whom death draws near, for those who are grieving, that Christ would be their health in sickness, their joy in sorrow, and their life in death, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the most vulnerable among us, especially the unborn and elderly, that we would cherish life from womb to the grave, seeking to care for them to the best of our ability, and that a culture of life would be embraced by more and more in our society until it becomes the norm. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the table of our Lord this day, that they would receive the very body and blood of Jesus in repentance and faith, and to their abundant blessing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of life, as we rejoice with Joel and Sarah Caldall in the gift of a son, Peter Vernon, and that mother and child would be kept safe until he is born again in the waters of holy baptism. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament. Page 194. Page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy.
pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Thank you.
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Continue with the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We stand as we're able.
Lord, have mercy on thy servant. Depart in peace. According to thy word. Lord, I have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Unto light and forget us, and the glory of thy people in Israel.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Oh God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Standing for our closing hymn, 923.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus and our grace-giving God. Just a couple of brief announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We have our school preschool gala auction coming up on March 10. Somebody's sitting at the table. If you have any questions or want to get some tickets for that, they'll be able to help you out. As I mentioned before, church, our Lenten journey will begin on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, March 1st. Everything is late this year. We'll have pretty much the exact same worship schedule this year as we had the last few years. Each Wednesday during Lent, we'll have two opportunities to worship, 12:15, right afternoon, 12:15, and then 6:30 in the evening. Our focus this year will be on the suffering servant from Isaiah 52 and 53. We pray that God would richly bless us as we begin our journey and start officially on Ash Wednesday at the beginning of Lent. Summary of Christian Doctrine class. We've had several people say, when are we going to start up a new adult confirmation class? Summary of Christian Doctrine is what we call it here. And we've been having one Sunday morning Bible study while Pastor Morandi's been leading the youth in the study of Mormonism. But he will be picking that up again early to mid-March, in about 3 weeks or so. And we'll get the word out for that. But that will be coming up very, very soon. And we'll keep you posted. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life in the grace of God.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morandi pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Morandi at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.